Okay, let's begin. Let me open in prayer and then we'll jump right into it here. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are patient with us and lead us down the path in the way we should go. Lord, I pray that your wisdom and the Holy Spirit would come through with this as we talk about your goodness and your faithfulness, and we ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the topic of encumbrances. And I want to start with two verses. Hebrews 12:1 in the Amplified, and then the same verse in the Passion, and they say the same thing a little differently, but I'm going to start with the one in the Amplified. And you guys were very familiar with this one. Hebrews 12:1 in the Amplified reads, "Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us." And then in the Passion, it reads, "As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us." So I'm going to read one sentence out of that verse from the Passion. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. And the footnote that you'll find in the Passion Bible says, if this is speaking of one sin, the context would point to the sin of unbelief and doubting God's promises. So those really are kind of the two operative verses that I wanted to start with as we kind of look at this subject called encumbrances. Now, what is an encumbrance? Well, hold on a sec.
Hello.
So what is an encumbrance? In real estate terms, an encumbrance is something that clouds a title or makes a piece of property less valuable. It could be something minor or it could be something major, but an encumbrance, for what For our the context we're going to talk about today is kind of a minor event that shows up and kind of it would be like you got a big day planned and you have a cold, and so you're walking around blowing your nose all day long. It doesn't slow you down, but it certainly doesn't make things any better. So that's the context I want to talk about encumbrances. So if you go on to the next verse, Hebrews 12:2, also in the Passion, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. So in the natural realm, like where do we place our gaze? What do we look at? And I guess the things that we really gaze at, the things that we look at a lot, the things that we focus on Those can become, if it's not Jesus, you know, those can become idols in your life. So I believe that what the Lord is kind of wanting to convey in this message today, it seems like the Lord in his mercy is now inviting Christ followers to take personal inventory within all of our lives, you know, by asking us the question, you know, what occupies most of your day and what do you focus on? And I think the Lord wants us to now revisit that. And I think he wants to help us like recalibrate our gaze, recalibrate, you know, what we focus on and look at. And that can be a multitude of things. So, you know, what's the urgency and why is this so important? Now, this is my sense. This is not a thus saith the Lord. This is my sense. So we can avoid the coming vibration test that's spoken of in Hebrews 12:26. And I'm speaking about the shaking that's coming. Now, speaking of vibration, speaking of shaking, in the natural, one of the sensitivities that I have been asked to study for the benefit of my company's customers has been floor vibration. This comes into play in a structural steel frame buildings where there will be very sensitive medical equipment stationed on those floors that can be easily thrown off dramatically with the slightest floor movement. So consequently, in the design and engineering phase of those floors, they're stiffened to mitigate floor vibration. So we know it happens, and maybe you guys have been in those kind of buildings where you're walking across a bridge or you're walking on a balcony or you're even like walking on an elevated floor. And if a couple of people happen to be like in cadence and directly walking the same way, that you can kind of feel the floor move a little bit. If it was an open space and you walk by somebody's desk and they had a cup of coffee on the desk, you'd walk by and you'd see little ripples in the coffee. So it's that kind of vibration that we try to remove in buildings. So the second sense that I have is, and that once again, this is not thus saith the Lord, but I think the Lord wants us to be able to withstand, you know, the test of fire that's coming. And in Revelation, it speaks about everything that can be burned will be burned and everything that can't be burned will remain. So, you know, back to, you know, what I do in the building industry, you know, one of the things that we're very sensitive to are fire ratings inside of buildings, and that would pertain to the primary structure, the walls, the floor. And so, you know, those components are tested, they're burned in fire, and then they have a rating. And the purpose for all that is so that the building will stay standing long enough for the occupants to leave a burning building. So that's the intent. So, you know, here's the question. So if we take these preventative measures within building design, which all by themselves have no eternal destination, why would we not give the same or more consideration, you know, to the current condition of our heart and our soul that do have an eternal consequence? So once again, I think this is like a twofold invitation from the Lord. And that would be, you know, away from the world collapse and, you know, into the loving arms of Jesus and the kingdom ways where kingdom prosperity reigns. You know, so much of the time we kind of get, it's easy to get scared out of position through circumstances, and something happens and it startles us. And, you know, it could be anything. It could be a financial event. It could be a personal event, but we kind of get scared out of position. And then we kind of go into a fight or flight mode, and we kind of like walk away from the promises of the Lord and the Lord's faithfulness. How does this, how does this happen? But before we go there, I want to bring up one more verse. Psalm 25, 14, also out of the Passion. And I love this verse because it's so succinct and it's for us believers. So it says, there's a private place reserved for the lovers of God where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Now, there's nothing better in the whole wide world than getting God's revelation for everything that we need to do in life. And when we get his revelation, we get an understanding. So that's God's wisdom, understanding and knowledge about certain situations. And when we can kind of see the inner workings of how things work, all of a sudden we have a clear path. And so the Lord is inviting us to sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. And that verse could actually be turned into a prayer. You could ask the Lord to reveal, to you, the revelation secrets of his promises. Tell me about these promises, Lord. So then, if this is truly an invitation from the Lord, why are we people so resistive to go there? And as I think about this, I kind of think that five of our six senses tell us to do otherwise. Now, when I say six senses, the sixth sense is really the Holy Spirit. The five senses are all the other natural five senses. But those have a tendency to speak to us in the natural. And I don't know if you're familiar with the limbic, L-I-M, RIC system in the body, but that is, let's see, limbic, L-I-M-B-I-C, limbic system. It's the flight or fight auto response that kicks in when we're kind of put in a precarious situation. So it automatically, kicks in, and it's there to kind of safeguard people and, keep them from doing the wrong thing. So anyway, that kicks in. But, how do we get to the position where we don't naturally, receive and invite the Lord into our life with his promises? And I think there's basically, six things that have happened to us that kind of keep us from that. Number one, everybody on the face of God's green earth has been educated. Now, I'm not talking higher education. I'm talking education. We've all been educated a certain way, through certain set of circumstances. If you grew up, with the gangs in the hood, you have been educated a certain way, and that's how you look at life. So then that education forms a view and understanding of God. It is through that lens that people then internally define prosperity. And most of the time, the definition of prosperity is from a worldly perspective. And consequently, the challenge for most people is to be or to become prosperous. But they have kind of a warped understanding of what prosperity is. And lastly, most of those efforts take place inside a Babylonian system, which has a whole different set of standards and principles, which most are not biblical. So, as we accept God's invitation to, kingdom ways, kingdom expansion, kingdom prosperity, it would be really good for us to look at reflectively, some of the things in our life, what were the things that we came through, and are we aware of any encumbrances that are still kind of attached to us that are slowing us down? So as I focused on this, I asked the Lord, like, give me like some examples of encumbrances. And so I got a very succinct list, and it started and then it went through it and then it stopped. So this is a very succinct list that I got from the Lord. First item. So and as I go through these, these are common. These are common, they're not uncommon. And we may have some of these, we may have some of these in combination. Some of these may pop up in our life. And so, the example, before I go through this list that I want to give, if you guys are familiar with, being largely in Wisconsin, close to Lake Michigan, you understand that there's a lot of shipping traffic that takes place in the Great Lakes. And one of the things that was problematic for ships in the Great Lakes were barnacles. And barnacles would attach to the bottom of the ship, and because it would take away the smooth surface and make a rough surface, it would make the ship much less efficient. Now that ship still made it to its destination, but it was dragged down, it was less efficient, it was slowed down. And sometimes ships can be hugely caked with barnacles. So that's kind of the visual that I want to use as we talk about these encumbrances. But this is the list that the Lord gave me. First one was idols of all sorts. The second one was the love of money and the things money buys. The third one was pride and self-determination. The fourth one was the approval of man as a high priority. The fifth one was walking in fear. The sixth one was a false understanding of our Heavenly Father. The seventh one was short-tempered, no patience with or for others. Eight, anger and rage, or frequent anger without rage. Nine, anger justified through perpetrated injustice. 10 was conscious self-promotion. 11 was unconscious self-promotion. 12 was stingy, tight-fisted with money. 13 was self-aggrandizement. 14 was self-loathing. 15 was high standards for others, but not for yourself. 16 was laziness. 17 was lack of repentance. And then the last one was thinking you're higher up the spiritual ladder in maturity than you are. Now, I didn't come up with those. The Lord gave me those. It was a list that pretty much landed in my lap. So the point is that as we, look at prosperity, lean into the Lord, trying to, master kingdom principles in prosperity, we need to be cognizant of some of the things that slow us down on our journey. And, the Lord in his mercy and grace will be happy to, in a gentle way, show us where those encumbrances are taking place, like in our life, and help us through his mercy and grace to, to discharge those and to work on getting rid of those. Now, this is not a works thing. This is just, an effort to run the race more completely, more efficiently. And, I think if the truth be told, there isn't a human being walking on the face of the earth that doesn't have a blind spot or two that they don't see, that we don't see. So that's really the significance of encumbrances. And then if you guys go, on the website, my notes are there, and they're in the notes, I put a link for, and this is the title of the link, Living Prophetically. There's a book written in heaven about you. And I think even Holly spoke about, you know, a trip to heaven and, you know, looking at the library and all the books. And, you know, the word speaks of the book of life, you know, your book. And so I thought it was an interesting little perspective on what our books say about us in heaven. So anyway, there's that link there, and you can, you know, you can check that out. And then I kind of want to end with two scriptures, which I thought were pretty significant. The first one is in Ecclesiastes 5:6. And the first part of that verse says, "Do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin." Now, I think that's like an interesting thought. And the more, you know, I kind of think about that, the more the Holy Spirit showed me, you know, what that looks like in my life. And so it's, I kind of spent some time thinking about that one. And then the second one is 1 Timothy 6:17. And this one's in the Passion. The other one was in the Amplified. And it ends by saying, "Trust instead in the one who lavishes upon us all good things, fulfilling our every need." And if you just think about that thought, that if we stop laboring for all those things that we think we need, kind of like taking care of ourselves, and if we focus on this verse, 1 Timothy 6:17, trusting in the Lord, in the one who lavishes upon us all good things, fulfilling our every need. And there's three key points there. Lavishes upon us, so he's not stingy, the Lord isn't stingy. All good things, not some good things, all good things, fulfilling our every need. And, you know, as I reflect back on how faithful the Lord has been in my life and in our life, I mean, it just blows me away at the little things that showed up that just demonstrate how faithful the Lord is and how attentive he is to every one of our needs. He knows what we need. He knows what our challenges are. So I think the challenge is to take ourselves out of that equation, stop being the little squirrel that's running around in the cage, going faster and faster, trying to fix things. You know, our motion, our efforts, you know, and I'm not saying don't be wise and don't do smart things. What I am saying is don't try to do the work of the Lord in our own life. Let the Lord do that. Let the Lord do that. Depend upon him. I mean, it's sometimes it takes a little effort to do this, but instead of going back to Ecclesiastes 5:6, do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin. And instead of describing a situation that's detrimental to us or coming to us or happening to us, it might be more appropriate to say, "Lord, I have no idea how you're going to solve this one, but I do know that you have the answer, and I do know that you're a good God, and I do know that you provide for us in every instance, and this instance is no different than any other one. And Lord, I look forward to the solution that is rapidly coming my way to solve this problem." And then I would recite 1 Timothy 6:17. So, you know, and I don't have this process mastered by any means, but you know, I've done this long enough to know that when I go down a dead end, I recognize the dead end, and I have the ability to hit park and then hit it, put it in reverse quicker than I ever did before, because I'm just becoming more familiar with dead ends, and I don't want to be there. I want to be, you know, in the kingdom. I want to be flowing with the Lord. I want to be listening to him. I want to be listening to, you know, his suggestions. And so I think I know Janet says this a lot. I know Holly and Lori say it a lot. But I'm starting now to spend a lot more time praying in tongues. So like when I have just spare time or driving to work or driving home, I'll just use that time just to pray in tongues. And we don't actually know how we're being benefited by that, but we are. And if we're allowing ourselves to receive godly wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that he wants to give us, like for every situation, oh my goodness, we're miles ahead. So I think our part is to, you know, earnestly like want to run a more efficient race, kind of like what Paul talks about. And then the Lord is faithful. He is absolutely faithful. And it was, you know, it's the human race that kind of got sideways with the Lord. And then they got to the point where they cried out for him. And then he continually, especially in the Old Testament, like re-redeemed his people. But in every instance, they had to kind of give up on themselves and come back to the Lord and throw themselves on the mercy seat, which they did. And every time he redeemed them. So I want to close with an apostolic blessing, which I think is just, it's so awesome. This is also, you know, in the Passion. It's Hebrews 13, and it starts in verse 20. So it's 20 and 21. And it reads as follows. Now may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would be the great shepherd of his flock, and by the power of the blood of the eternal covenant, may he work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. And may he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with Jesus, the Anointed One, who is to receive all glory forever. Amen. That is an enormous blessing. And I love reading that. So I just speak that over you all right now in the name of Jesus. And, you know, the Lord is good and he's going to continue to show himself. I don't really care who goes to war with who, what happens to like the economy, what happens around. The Lord is faithful. He is faithful. He's been faithful year after year, century after century, with and for his people, and he's not going to stop now. So I think we have a really good opportunity to walk into the Lord's faithfulness and to learn new things about kingdom prosperity and how he wants to confer that on us and how he wants to teach us new things in that. He wants us to be such an example walking around that people stop you on the street and go, how do you do what you do? How can I be like you? What's inside you that I don't have? That's what he wants for us. He wants us to be that kind of an example walking around that we can point lost people back to Jesus. And prosperity is one of the ways he does that. So any questions? Does anybody have any questions regarding some of this stuff? I guess not. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And thanks for putting your notes up on the website too. That will be super helpful.
Yes, it makes sense.
And I don't think this was like an admonishment. I think this was, you know, Hey, if you took your flip-flops off and you put track shoes on, you could actually run faster. I think it's that type of a thing, okay? So it's not like you're not being hit between the eyes with a fly swatter. It's like, I think this would, if you did this, this would you guys could we could run faster, So that's how I kind of received it from the Lord. So
So, Jim, I thought your list of encumbrances was really great, just so great.
well, it was I never got a list like this before. I go, okay, give me some ideas, and it was like boom, 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 boom. It was like something came through the fax machine like pretty quick. So
That's great. Yeah, you were reading that and I was like, yikes. Oh, like yes. Oh, man.
So, and Aaron, I gotta ask, how are you doing? How's everything going with you?
Actually, when you were sharing, I was like, I do have a testimony for God's faithfulness and provision. We had a freak hailstorm in Grand Junction. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, a week ago. And it was horrible, like golf ball size hail. We just
Oh
don't get that.
no.
We just don't get it here. And so all of our cars were out, and we had some friends over, their cars were out, and everything was just dimpled with hail.
Oh no.
And so a f few of us went out, and I think the next morning, like, started the claim process to see, like, well, I don't know, it's hail, I'm not sure if like what will happen with it. And so I started a claim to see if I could do anything. And my car, for background reference, is it works, and I I'm very thankful for it, but I bought a total lemon. And so even when it got like dimpled, I just cracked up because I'm not incredibly attached to it, but I am thankful for it. And so it was kind of like, I don't think my vehicle is even worth that much. It's fine and blah blah blah. All that to say is, last week, I got a call from my insurance company, and they valued my car way more than I thought it was worth. And they're offering me way more than I thought. I mean, just substantial. And I bring it up as like a testimony because right now I'm not, I mean, for anyone, I'm not working. And so there has been a financial stress, and God is teaching me a lot about that. But it just came out of a hailstorm. And it's been like a really cool lesson to learn.
So
Amen.
did like the insurance company send a check?
They're going to, yeah.
Yeah.
They're, yeah. So I'll be getting that maybe in a week or so. But yeah, I mean, I didn't think my car was worth anything, and it looks horrible, but it was just really cool how it all happened, and especially in the season that it happened in, to just
Yeah.
know like he's taking care of me. And
Can you
So that's
drive it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. It's drivable.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
that is awesome. I mean, golf ball size is pretty significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean,
we've never, it was like a precedent setting. We've never had that here. You might get pea-sized hail once every 3 years, and we were standing watching out the window going, wait, what is happening? We had some skylights that we lost in the blast as well, but we needed new ones of those too, so it's all good.
We have a bit of a hailstorm story. Yeah, years ago, We were in an extended hailstorm in Colorado. It was like 3 hours long. And so we went through it, and the car got, like rippled a little, very minor, but it was noticeable. So we years later, and we didn't do anything about it. And I think we did get a claim, which actually helped us at the same time, the same way. But years later, we traded the car in, and we had the guy look at it, and he gave us like way more for the car, like than I thought they would. And then after the deal's done, he goes, "Hey, was your car like in? You did have hail damage?" And we go, "Yeah, years ago, but if you couldn't find it, then." When you inspected the car, then it couldn't have been that bad. So, but yeah, I mean, it's funny. The Lord uses hailstorms to put money in people's pockets. So it's that's great, Aaron. That's awesome. And I believe, Aaron, I believe that the Lord is going to continue to be very faithful with you, and there's going to be like a path that's going to open up for you. And you're going to go, "Oh my goodness, I never would have guessed it would have happened that way,"
Yeah.
So
I
I
receive that.
know then the Lord's going to be faithful.
Thanks, Jim. I received that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody else? Well, if not, let me close in prayer, and then we'll meet up with you guys next month. So, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you're so gentle and you remind us of your goodness. And Lord, it's true. Your mercy and goodness chase us down and tackle us, every day. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness with this group and everybody's life. Lord, I thank you for the things that you're going to do with Erin right now and the new path that you're going to put her on. And Lord, I thank you that you are actively involved in everybody's life, everybody on this call and everybody in the sound of my voice. Lord, you're wonderful. You're unbelievable. We continue to worship and praise you. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we say, keep it up and keep doing it. We will continue to receive this. And we thank you, Lord, and we say all these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
Thank you.
thank you guys, and God bless
Thank
you.
you.
And I know there's super good days ahead, and I'm looking forward to witnessing it all in all of you. So, you guys
Yeah.
have a great rest of the week, and we'll chat later.
God
Bye,
bless.
Jim. Bye, Jim.
All right.
Thank you. God bless.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank
Bye,
you,
Jim.
Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah.